Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
You know, last week, for those of you, if there's anybody that's on here that wasn't with us last week, we started a new series called Avengers, or specifically Avengers Assemble. And in that, I started with an opening statement, which is from the movie Avengers. And that opening statement is this. It says, "And there came a day, a day unlike any other, when Earth's mightiest heroes and heroines found themselves united against a common threat. On that day, the Avengers were born to fight the foes no single hero could withstand. Through the years, their roster has prospered, changing many times, but their glory has never been denied. Heed the call, then, for now, Avengers Assemble." You know, in this, you know, we're understanding in this series, we're really taking a good look at, you know, and remind ourselves how this world has just been plagued, you know, by the enemy for too long. Satan himself has plagued this world for generations over and over and over and over again, and it continues to happen. You know, every generation, they've experienced many fallen soldiers. And fallen soldiers are people who believe in Jesus Christ, people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, people who believe in God to the fullest, people who are soldiers. And even though, they have had a full committed life to Jesus Christ and to God, their full belief and faith in God and Jesus Christ, they have fallen for different reasons. And, you know, we have to understand that as children of God, as soldiers, that we are not exempt from being defeated by the enemy. And just because we have a God who is almighty, just because we have a Jesus who saves all, if there are certain things that we allow or don't allow, it can call us to unnecessarily fall by the wayside or fall in life, period. You know, we have to understand that there are foes, that there are enemies that are out there that cannot be defeated, or shall I say, we cannot defeat by ourselves. And we have to, you know, we have allowed for the enemy to have his way far too long. I shared a scripture with you guys last week, and that was Matthew 18 and verse 18. It said, Jesus says this, he says, "I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. But whatever you allow on earth will also be allowed in heaven." We have allowed for the devil to have his way on earth for too long. And because we have allowed the devil to have his way here on the earth, God has allowed the devil to have his way as well. And if we forbid the devil, it's time for us to start forbidding him. It's time for us to start telling him, no, you are not going to have your way in these situations, in our lives and in the lives of other people anymore. And we have to stop him. We have to command him. We have to take the authority that God gave us, which goes all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible, all the way back to the very beginning of creation, all the way back to Adam when God created him. He said, "I have given you dominion over the earth to rule it." And so we have to remind ourselves that we have the authority, we have the dominion. God has given us the charge to rule it, but for too long we have allowed for the enemy, Satan himself, to rule it. And because we have allowed him to rule it, then God's hands are tied and he can't do anything about it. So it's up to us to come to a place where we begin to forbid him to have his way. And if we forbid him, then God will forbid him. Also understand that no matter how strong and no matter how much talent and everything that we have as individuals, that there's no way that we can defeat the enemy by ourselves. You know, one thing about the Avengers is no matter how strong they were, no matter how much superpowers that they had, none of them could defeat some of the enemies that they have faced over the different series of the movies and the books and whatever. Every so often they would encounter an enemy that they could not defeat by themselves, no matter how strong they were, no matter how much superpowers they had. The only way they could defeat certain enemies is they had to come together and they had to work together, that none of them could defeat some of their enemies on their own. No matter how strong or how talented we are as individuals, there are enemies that we cannot defeat alone. We must assemble ourselves against this common threat, which is the devil and his army. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19, I'll tell you this. If two of you agree on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are gathered, as many are gathered together as my followers, I am there with them. God is letting us know. Jesus said this himself. He's letting us know that if we come together, where two or three, when we come together, when we gather together as his followers, that he's there with us. We know that Jesus can't be defeated. We know that Jesus has already won the victory. We know that he is our what? He is our savior. And because he's our savior, he's our victor. With him on our side, he's letting us know, look, all you have to do is come together, join together. And when you guys come together as my followers, you cannot be defeated. He says, I am right there in the midst. I'm right there with you. There is no way that we can be defeated if Jesus is on our side and we come together. It's not just Jesus being on our side by it that stands alone, but it's Jesus being on our side and us coming together. You know, many times people, you know, they are tempted or they are distracted by the issues of life. And when people get tempted or they get distracted by the issues of life, people will sometimes fall into sin or they will fall into desolation. You know, in other words, we deal with certain things in life. The issues of life begin to hit us, you know, with a left hook and a right hook. You know, last year I talked about and we dealt with COVID, the whole COVID situation, the whole pandemic situation. And one of the things that I did is I talked about how this pandemic, you know, hit us really hard. It caught us off guard. We were not prepared for what we encountered. We found ourselves in a fight that we didn't go looking for. And when we found ourselves in this fight that we didn't even go looking for, we got sucker punched. You know, I shared you guys a story about years ago. I got into a fight and I got sucker punched. A guy come from behind me and punched me in my mouth and I found myself instantly unprepared for a fight. And here I am all over, I mean, fighting really hard. And, you know, when the pandemic hit, it caught us off guard. It sucker punched us. We didn't see it coming. And because we did not see that thing coming, you know, we found ourselves trying our best to recuperate. We're trying to find that place of balance so that we can begin to fight back. You know, so often when life, the issues of life hit us, it catches us off guard and it hit us with a left hook and hit us with a right hook. It'll sucker punch us. And when the issues of life hit us, you know, sometimes that thing causes us to, you know, do certain things that's maybe not becoming of us, you know, and sin is one of those things. You know, when we get distracted by the issues of life, we can easily fall into sin or we can fall into desolation. What is desolation? Desolation is this place of emptiness. It's a place of drought. You know, the West Coast has been experiencing a lot of drought and they do every year. And because of the extreme drought that the West Coast experienced, they have these forest fires that they deal with because everything is so dry. The slightest little spark will burn down hundreds and thousands of acres of land with this huge fire. And so what happens in our lives when we find ourselves in a place of desolation, you know, we find ourselves in this place of drought. We find ourselves in this place of emptiness, and the slightest little spark The slightest little spark will set off a fire that will burn acres and acres in our own personal lives. And so we have to be very careful that when we do fall into temptation or when we do get distracted by the issues of life, that we don't fall into sin or we don't fall into this place of desolation. Sin also leads to a place of isolation. A lot of times, so we're dealing with the issues of life. We're fighting these enemies out there, these enemies that we cannot defeat alone. We cannot defeat by ourselves. And we're fighting these enemies. We're fighting sin. We're dealing with desolation. And then because we deal with all these different things, one of the things that we tend to do sometimes is we fall into this place of isolation. Why do we fall into isolation? When we fall into places of sin or a places of desolation, or we're fighting the enemy or fighting these different battles, sometimes we don't want people to know the sin that we're dealing with. Sometimes we don't want people to know the emptiness or this place of desolation, this drought in our lives that we're dealing with. Sometimes we don't want people to know about these battles that we're dealing with. And so what we will do is we will tend to isolate ourselves into this place so that we'll keep everybody else from knowing about it. It's because of shame. Because of the shame of the sin, because of the shame of this dryness or this emptiness in our lives, because of the shame of this drought that we're dealing with in our lives, we will begin to isolate ourselves. And when people isolate themselves, they become weak. And when people become weak, they are easily defeated. You know, there is a tactic when it comes to battle. And one of the there's many tactics actually, but this one particular tactic when it comes to battle is to somehow draw your enemy out into a place of isolation. And if you can draw your enemy out into a place of isolation, they are in a vulnerable position and they are weaker than they are if they are with their fellow soldiers. If you can draw them away, you can attack them and you can defeat them real easy. And one of the things that the devil does to us is he draws us away from our place of strength. He draws us away from our place, you know, with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to pull us away. If he can pull us away, if he can pull us to a place of isolation, then he can easily defeat us. So isolation, what happens when we fall into isolation, we become weak and we're easily defeated. Did you know this? Did you know that studies show that long periods of isolation is linked to heart disease and stroke? Who knew? Did you know this? Did you know that studies also show that isolation or loneliness leads to a 40% increase in dementia? I want to read that one more time. Dementia and Alzheimer's is something that it seems to be so rampant. I mean, the numbers seem like they've higher than we've ever known them to be before. You know, when I was a child, I never heard of dementia or Alzheimer's. And some of you probably can relate to this. But in my adulthood, it seems like, dang, man, everybody's getting dementia. Everybody's getting Alzheimer's. You know, there used to be a time where we used to worry about other stuff, but now it seems like, man, one of the things as we age in life that we fear getting seems like more than other stuff that we used to fear getting when it comes to aging is dementia and Alzheimer's. And studies show that isolation and long periods of loneliness leads to a 40% increase in dementia. If studies show that, that means that what's happening here is for whatever reasons, people are isolating themselves more and more and more. They're because they're isolating themselves and they find they're going into this deep place of loneliness, and even that leads to depression. And when that happens, there's a 40% increase in the risk of dementia. Isolation also causes a person to become more irritable and more frustrated. They're frustrated very easy. and very irritable, very easy when you fall into a place of isolation. Sometimes, you know, I remember there are times where we call a person, you know, a cranky old person. Man, that is a cranky old person. They just a cranky old person. Maybe the reason they are cranky old person is because they have fallen to this deep place of isolation. And because they fall into this deep place of isolation, they're just very irritable or they are easily frustrated. You know, you all heard this quote, no man is an island. You know, and a lot of people believe this, and I actually did too, believe this to be scripture. No man is an island. Believe this to be something that came out of the Bible, the way this is says, you know, and actually it's not out of the Bible. Actually, it's not a scripture. It's a title from a poem by a guy by the name of John Donne. And he wrote this poem, which is actually the title, and it's the first line in this poem. And in this poem, he talks about how isolation diminishes a man's existence. Isolation diminishes a man's existence. Although it's not actually scripture, it is inspired by scripture. The scripture that this poem is inspired by is the book of Romans, chapter 14 and verse 7. He says, for we do not live to ourselves, nor do we die to ourselves. This is a statement that the Apostle Paul made. And again, it says, we do not live to ourselves, nor do we die to ourselves, meaning that our lives is going to have an impact on the life of somebody else. Our death is going to have an impact on the life of people as well. But also, we are not meant to be alone. We are not meant to live our lives by ourselves. You know, think about this. When God created Adam, the first man on the planet, one of the things that he said concerning the creation of man, when he first made him, he said, what? It is not good that man should be what? Alone. We were not meant to be people of isolation. We were not meant to be by ourselves. But he said to him, he said, for this cause, he said, I'm going to do what? God said, I'm going to make him a helpmeet or a helper. I'm going to make him a helper. We are meant to be together. One of the very first reasons that we are meant to be together is so that what? We can help each other. We can help each other. He said, God said, it's not good that man should be alone. So therefore, I'm going to make him a helper. We are meant to be together. And John Donne, he talks about this in his poem that a man is not an island. And he talks about the danger that isolation, it actually diminishes a man's existence. You know, when we find ourselves at weak points in our lives, we need to avoid as much as possible falling into this place of isolation. We need to do our best not to fall into this place of desolation. When we fall into this place of isolation and desolation, then we become weaker. When we become weaker, it's easier for the enemy to attack us. And we need to make sure that we are not in a vulnerable place and not falling into this place of isolation. There are times that we need each other more than ever before. Some of us are probably dealing with things in our lives right now where we need the strength of numbers. We need each other more than we've ever needed each other before. We understand that there are strength in numbers and that we are better what? Together. We are better together. Some of you probably say that, you know, you don't deal with or you don't have this problem with isolation because you're always around people. You know, okay, we all deal with battles. We all have different things that we face in our lives. We all have the issues of life that deal with us, that come to us. We all have sin that we fall into. We all sometimes fall into this place of desolation, you know, but isolation, I don't really struggle. I don't really deal with isolation that much because, you know, I'm always around people. I want you guys to know this. Just because you're around people does not mean that you're not experiencing isolation. You could be in a crowd of 1,000 people, but still dealing with isolation. You know, we can be around people all the time, and at the same time that we're around people all the time, we're secretly and silently and isolatedly, I don't even know if that's a word, but fighting the enemy by ourselves. And I said again, we can be around people all the time, but fighting the enemy, fighting battles in isolation. You know, no one else. There could be times, you know, sometimes you think about certain things in lives, you know, we could be fighting these battles by ourselves in isolation, and no one has a clue whatsoever that we're fighting these battles. We could be around our whole family. We could be around our whole church community. We could be around our whole job, you know, all of our coworkers and everything, and we're fighting these battles, and no one has a clue that we're fighting these battles. You know, that's why sometimes people, they commit suicide. They commit, you look at people sometimes and then they commit suicide and you'd be like, oh my gosh, what happened? You know, why did they commit? It seemed like their lives were just great. It seemed like everything was okay. I mean, it seemed like they were doing good. I mean, what would drive them to a place of committing suicide is because they slipped into a deep place of isolation and they were fighting battles that no one knew that they were fighting. They were fighting the enemy by themselves. And and because they was fighting the enemies by themselves, they became very weak and, you know, they were dealing with isolation, even though they was around people. You know, sometimes, you know, that's why we sometimes hear about people and they snap. You know, there's a television show, a TV series on you know, the cable networks and stuff that's called Snapped. And what this this show highlights, it highlights people committing these heinous crimes, these unthinkable crimes. And these are not just, you know, these are not like criminal people. These are everyday normal people, people that we go to school with, people that we live with, people in our family, people that we go to work with, people that we hang out with, sometimes our best friends or close friends or whatever. And all of a sudden they'll snap and they commit these heinous crimes, these unthinkable crimes. And then everybody's trying to figure out, why did that happen? What happened? Nobody understands why they did what they did. It's because no one knew that that person was fighting an enemy alone in isolation. Even though they was around and they appeared to be fine, they appeared to be going good, everything seems to be okay. Not, you know, we all got our issues and stuff that we deal with, but it wasn't that bad to the point where they would commit suicide or they'll go out and commit some heinous crime and we don't understand. Nobody has a clue. It's because they were fighting their battles or fighting enemies in isolation. You know, I wanna do an object lesson here. And so in order to do this object lesson, I need a volunteer. And Miss Marguerite right here, she is going to be my Vanna White for this morning. Okay? Yeah. And I guess I'm who? Pat Sajak and Vanna White. But I need a volunteer, so I need to know who wants to be my volunteer. If you want to be my volunteer, just unmute your mic real quick and join me.
You got me, Pastor.
Okay, Dana, welcome to the live. I hope you and your family are blessed. You are here, so you are blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so this is what I'm going to do, Dana. Can you see me?
I can.
Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. I have 20 items that I'm going to show. Miss Vanna White is going to bring me items, and she's going to show these items one by one. Okay?
Okay.
And what I want you to do is try to remember as many of them as you possibly can. All right?
Okay,
good. All right, here's item number one. All right, we have a sucker.
Right, okay.
You gotta move fast, Marguerite. Time is... We have a Tennessee Titans shot glass.
Okay.
We had a laughing bag.
Okay.
I used to use that when I did counseling. We have a domino, big six, domino.
Okay.
I used to do counseling, I used to use that laughing bag. When things would get real tense, I would push the button. My deck of cards.
Okay.
And it would break them. Got a big old butcher knife, Jason, in the house. Friday the 13th. Pair of scissors.
Okay. Oh, all right.
We got a kind of like a turbo massager.
Okay.
It's not the name brand turbo, but you know, it's an imitation one. We got a dumbbell.
Okay.
We got a statue of Eddie George, Tennessee Titans.
I just say statue.
I got another statue, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Preacher.
Okay. We got a book called Relentless by John Bevere. We got a teddy bear.
Okay. Gaga. Mommy make that good.
We got a picture of me and my sister Trina. We got a remote control, TV remote control. We got a, who is that? That's the Raiders.
Football helmet.
Raiders football helmet. Yeah, we did that.
Oh, excuse me.
Michael Jackson Thriller album. We got an iPad. We're almost done. We got a little thing that says, believe in your selfie. And a size D battery. Okay? You got all those items? Those items? Yes, items. You got all those items?
Yes, okay. Sir.
All right. So now that you have all those items in your mind, your brain is so powerful and so wonderful, wonderfully made. I just want you to hold those for just a second, okay? I'm going to come right back to you, all right? In the meantime, I have a story that I want to tell you guys. So don't go anywhere, Thana. Stay right there. I got a story I want to share with you guys, okay? Remember the story about the three little pigs? Yes, I'm sure you do remember the story about three little pigs. If you don't, I'm going to tell you or I'm going to remind you, whichever one you want. Three little pigs. So we had these three little pigs. They were all brothers or they were all sisters or they were all brothers and sisters. Whichever you want them to be. They were siblings, okay?
Let's use sisters.
These three little pigs, they decide to strike out on their own. It's time for them to leave the nest and go and have their own home and build their own home. So as they go out, one little pig, he go out and he build him a house and he used straw to build his house, all right? He built his house on the beach and he used straw. He had a sand foundation and he had straw for his structure. All of a sudden, another little pig, he went off and he built this house and he used some twigs and some sticks and he built this house. All right. Then we had another one and he just built his house on the dirt ground. And then we had another pig. He went out and he got him some bricks and some concrete, some cement and stuff. And he built his house on a foundation. He laid a solid foundation of concrete. Then he built the structure to his house. All the three little pigs got their own house. Made of straw and hay, another one made out of sticks and twigs, and another one made out of brick and concrete. And so they all having a great time in their own house, living by themselves, doing their own thing. Y'all know how it is when you first move out of your parents' house and you do your own thing, right? You feel the freedom of doing what it is that you want to do. And so these pigs are out there. They're just living and enjoying the free single life that they was living. All of a sudden, this comes along, this big bad wolf, and this big bad wolf comes along, and the first house that he approaches was the house made of straw and hay. And he realizes that there is a pig in that house. And he says to the little pig, what do you say, come out?
Let me come in.
Yeah, little pig, let me in. And little pig responded, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. He said, if you don't let me in, I'm going to huff and puff and I'm going to blow the house down. So he huffed and he puffed and he blew the house down. The pig didn't have no covering, no protection. So the big bad wolf ate him up. Walker said he didn't eat him up. So he didn't eat him up. Look, blew the house down. So the little pig ran off. Okay. Then the big bad wolf kept on his journey. And he's chasing the pig, trying to find the pig. And then the pig ran to his brother's house. All right. He gets to his brother's house. That house was made with twigs and made with sticks. So he gets to his house. He's in the house, locked the door. He said, brother, there's a wolf after me. Protect me. He said, come on in. Lock the door. we'll be safe in here. And so the big bad wolf gets to their house and he says, Lou Pigs, let me in. And both of them said, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And he said, well, if you don't let me in, I'm a huff and a puff and blow the house down. So he huffed and he puffed and he blew the house down. Okay, these are the two little pigs, they take off running and the wolf is chasing them. They take off running. They end up going to the other brother's house that's made out of brick and concrete. And so they knock on the door. Brother, let us in. A wolf is after us. So they get to the house. The brother let him in. He said, come on in. You guys will be safe in here. He can't get into my house. And the wolf gets to the house and he said, little pig, let me in. He said, not by the hair of our chinny chin chin. The wolf, he huffed and he puffed and he blew the house, but he couldn't blow the house down. He said, I'm gonna try again. So he huffed and puffed again. So he couldn't do it again. He huffed and puffed and he huffed and puffed so long till he ended up having a heart attack and he ended up dying right there. So they took him and threw him in the river, a dead corpus. A dead wolf body. It's so crazy. So the three little pigs, the wolf is gone. The three little pigs, they all live together in the one brother's house who was built out of brick and mortar. All right. So here's a question for you guys. Now that you guys have gotten the three little pigs story all over again and remind you of your elementary school or preschool nursery rhyme days. So Brianna, teach that to Sydney, okay? My question is this. Does anybody remember the reason that the wolf was trying to blow down the pig's house and get them? Does anybody remember? Okay, you don't remember. I'm going to tell you why. He wanted to devour them. He wanted to devour them. He wanted to eat them up. That's why he wanted to blow the house down. Do you guys want to know the reason that the enemy is constantly after you? The enemy, Satan himself and his army, is after you because he wants to devour you. He comes to your house, he huffs and he puffs and he blows the house down. We have to understand, we have to be reminded that the devil's purpose or his goal, the thing that he is setting out to do is to destroy our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says this. It says, stay alert, wake up, sound the alarm, keep watch. Somebody should be in the watchtower at all times. Somebody's eyes should be open at all times. Peter says this, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He's clearly and unmistakably identifying who our enemy is, and that is the devil. Stay alert. Watch out for the devil because he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to do what? Devour. I told you guys earlier that one of the things that isolation does to us, it weakens us. And when it weakens us, it causes us to be so vulnerable to where we can be destroyed. We can easily be devoured. One of the things that the enemy wants to do is he wants to get you isolated. He wants to get you off by yourself so that he can devour you. You guys have seen clips of, the wild kingdom animals and out there and how they be hunting and how lions and stuff be hunting and what have you, you know. You can have a whole herd of wildebeest and a lion will not attack. What a lion will try to do is try to draw the smallest and the weakest one out away from everybody else. Or the lion will be so patient and wait till that little calf or the smallest one or the weakest one kind of stray away or kind of walk away from the rest of the group. And once that one walks away from the rest of the group, then the lion will attack because he's looking for someone to devour. I want you all to know that the enemy, the devil, is very patient. He will wait all day long and he will do different things to try to draw you away from everybody else. And once you either stray away from everybody yourself or you draw away from everybody or he draws you out away from everybody, then he will devour you. He will destroy you. That wolf, his goal was to get those little pigs so that he could devour them. The enemy is huffing and a puffing. Each of the little pigs, they went their own way to build their own house. One with straw, one with twigs, and one with bricks. We know that in order to have a strong house, in order to have a strong anything, we need a strong, solid foundation. The one pig who had the strongest house, he built a foundation first. Once he built the foundation, then he built the structure to his house and completed his house. And so he had a strong house, a strong foundation. But you know, here is something else. Apparently, these three little pigs, they built their houses not so close together. They built their houses, you know, far away from each other. All right. This is why I say this. This is just an observation on my part. Okay. He did that because none of them were close enough to help each other when the enemy came. When the enemy came to attack, they were there alone to fight by themselves. They didn't help. Just imagine this. What if all of them were close enough to the point where when the wolf approached the house that was made of straw and twigs, the other two would have been so close and right there that they could have easily helped defend and fight off the wolf. And even the one with the weakest house still would have been standing. What if? It's a strong what if, but it's a legitimate what if. You know, if they were close, they would have been able to help each other and not run off. So often we neglect the importance of togetherness. So often we neglect the importance of the strength and the numbers that we have. And we need to be reminded that we need each other. We need to be reminded that we have to be there for each other. And by being there for each other, we are stronger. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, it says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and to good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. It is very important that we stay close together. Amen. Dina, I'm bringing you back.
So, okay.
All right. I want you to do this. Those items that I showed you, I want you as much as you can, tell me, start naming off all those items that we showed you, if you can.
Remote control, I know.
Margaret, bring them as
a shot glass.
Got a shot glass. Remote control. Fast, Marguerite.
A blow pop.
A who?
A blow pop.
A sucker, yep, okay.
Michael Jackson album.
Michael Jackson, girl, you doing good.
a picture of you.
Okay.
You and Marguerite, I think. You. I don't know. Yeah, picture. A picture.
My sister. Okay.
Why you say something? Them statues. I remember Preacher Man, and I forgot the other, but it was two statues.
Who was the Preacher Man?
It was a preacher. It was a black preacher man.
What's his name?
He had a name.
He did have a name.
It was black. Yeah. Say
Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King. I said Martin Luther King. Okay.
I didn't hear you say Martin Luther King. And what was the other statue? I know it's another statue.
Give me something. Tell me who. Give me something.
It was another statue. There was a white statue.
Okay. Next, keep going.
You got me off track. You got me off track when you did it. Blow pop, Michael Jackson. Oh man, a football helmet.
Who is it?
Now, see, I don't remember people. I didn't know it was a football helmet.
Who is it? I said the name specifically. Who is it?
Titan.
Hey, girl, watch your tongue.
I mean, sorry, but Titan.
Nope, it wasn't the Titans.
I mean, but I just know football. Uh-oh, hello?
Yeah, we here.
I lost you. I can't see you. Okay. But it was just a football helmet. I don't remember who it was.
Okay, give me something else.
Yeah, I forgot that because you didn't say it.
Raiders.
Okay. So, Dana, this is what I'm going to do.
Okay.
We got other people on here. We're going to let some other people help you, okay?
Okay.
All right, so.
I don't know no party footballs. Okay. I remember a teddy bear.
Teddy bear. Okay, she said teddy bear. Okay, so right now, what we're going to do is anybody want to help Dana? Y'all help Dana. You keep on naming some. Anybody want to help Dana? Y'all help her out.
Massager.
Who?
One at a time.
A massager.
A massager. Yep. We had a massager.
A D battery.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the battery. And then them scissors. A butcher knife.
A
double six dominoes.
Yeah.
The figurine was
the
Eddie George
statue. The
playing cards.
A deck
of cards.
I said not a deck of cards, Mama.
What else we say?
I said a deck of cards. The Eddie George figurine was
Eddie George.
The other
figurine.
Who
said Eddie George?
Deanna.
The Eddie George, right? That's who.
Well, he wasn't white, huh? A dumbbell.
Yep, we had a dumbbell.
What else? What about the laughing machine? Did you get that?
The who?
That's Squeegee. Yep.
No, the laughing machine.
Yeah, the laughing guy.
Okay.
I don't remember no more.
We got three.
Oh, a book. The book. Did we do the book?
Okay, yeah, we had a book. What was the book?
I can't remember what the book was.
I don't remember the name of the book.
The author was John Bevere.
Who said John Bevere? Deanna. Yeah, sure. It was John Bevere.
Relentless.
Yep. Good job.
Did you get the battery? Yeah, we got the battery.
The selfie thing. So I said the selfie thing. Yep. The selfie thing. There's two more left.
What were we missing, y'all?
Dana, you said one of them, but you just couldn't tell me what it was.
I should get half of it.
What did she say, Byron?
It was a football helmet, but she couldn't tell me who it was.
Raiders
football helmet. Yep. One more item left. I haven't heard it yet. Come on, y'all. Y'all can do this.
We said the scissors, the dumbbell.
Yep.
The teddy bear.
Was it the beginning or the end?
I have no idea. One more item. Going once.
Start with a ladder.
Going twice. I'll give you a hint. It's black.
I'm black.
I said remote control.
Said what?
iPad.
Who said that?
iPad. Yeah. Okay.
It was the iPad. Yep. It was the iPad. That's all the 20 items. Y'all give yourself a big old round of applause. Y'all did so good. Okay. All right. So y'all go ahead and meet your mics back at this time. Dana, thank you so much for participating.
You're welcome.
In that game with us, that object lesson with us, and thank everybody else for joining and helping her out with that. You know, so the point of this is this. Dana by herself is great, is wonderful. And she was able to remember, a bunch of them. There was some that she wasn't able to remember, like some of the specific details was, but she still remembered it. But here's the thing. When everybody else jumped in to help her, it made it so much easier to be successful. It made it so much easier to accomplish that. She was able to accomplish it with the help of everybody else. And guess what? With the help of everybody else, the team was able to get all of them and be very specific in all of them as well. You know, even like Deanna, she remembered that the author's name. I thought people would remember the name of the book before the author, but she remembered the author's name. You know, as a team, we accomplish more. As a team, we're able to to reach that goal, that ended place that we set out to do. As a team, we're able to defeat the enemy together. But here's something else about working together as a team, is that it makes the whole thing more fun. You know, think about herself, you know, she was doing it was a little fun there, you know, and you know, like, oh my gosh, you know, sometimes when we're dealing with things, we get to a place and we're trying to accomplish them, we feel like we're pulling our hair out trying to do it. But then all of a sudden, when everybody else jumped in, it became much more fun. It became much more exciting. It became, you know, the whole process was fun. The whole thing was fun. And then guess what? It makes the victory even fun. It makes the victory more of a celebratory event when everybody can celebrate together. You know, when you do something, you accomplish something by yourself, you know, to celebrate by yourself is not as fun as when you celebrate with a group of people. And when you're trying to accomplish things in life, you're trying to do things in life, you're trying to fight the enemy by yourself, you know, it's frustrating. It's heartbreaking. It's hair pulling trying to fight these battles by yourself. But when you got a team of people with you, it makes fighting the battle actually fun. It makes it challenging. It's like, man, let's go. Let's do this, you know, and it's like, strap up, let's go. It makes the whole process more of an enjoyable process. Everything about teamwork is good. You know, there's a saying, teamwork makes the dream work. And it's so true. And we have to understand that there are battles that we face in life. There is a common threat, a common enemy, the devil himself, that is out to destroy our lives. But if we come together, if we assemble ourselves as a team, that we cannot be defeated, knowing that we have God on our side, knowing that we have Jesus on our side. And also when we come together, it's like there's no way we can be defeated. I want to just encourage everybody, do not fight your battles alone. Do not fight your battles alone. Know that you have a team. Know that there are people out there that's willing and ready to help you out. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.